You Bet with Nick Kostos and Femi Abebefe.
Hey, this is Joe Buck, and you have done it. You have found it. You are listening to You Better You Bet. Great decision.
The great Iron Eagle.
Nick and Femi are such close friends. I would even consider getting divorced, even though I'm very happily married, just to get remarried, to have them as groomsmen. That's how much they mean to me.
Hi, this is Kevin Harlan of CBS, Westwood One, and TNT. And I'm listening, as you do every day, to You Better You Bet with the most handsome single man in the radio business. A man who, if I was not married for 38 years, I might consider myself the kind of guy that can electrify a listening audience and a crowd of bystanders watching him do what he does so well each and every day. Continue to listen right here on You Better You Bet.
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
The phenomenal Football Friday edition of You Better You Bet rolls on. Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you here on the BetMGM Network. 20 minutes from now, we begin 100 minutes of bets. Baseball, WNBA, college football, and the National Football League. Colin Wilson from Big Bets on Campus and the Action Network is going to join us in just a moment, but we do have a couple pieces of news I just want to get into the show here. Femi and I will talk more about it later in the show, but just to get it to our audience, just a couple pieces of injury-related notes for week one. Christian McCaffrey did not practice again today for San Francisco. He is listed as questionable. Kyle Shanahan would not offer anything when asked by reporters. This does not feel like Christian McCaffrey is going to play, but we will see. I guess he could. The Green Bay Packers have listed Micah Parsons as questionable for Sunday's game against the Lions due to his back injury. No further information there on Micah Parsons. So two huge ones. McCaffrey questionable, DNP Friday today. Micah Parsons questionable, dealing with that back injury. If we get any new information over the course of the next 2 hours, we will bring it to you here on You Better You Bet. But for right now, let's get some college football bets and advice from the great Colin. I gotta tell you, man. He's been working out. He looks great. Like, the fade looks awesome. He's got the short sides with the bushy beard. He looks awesome. He looks yoked. And we love having him on the show. Action Network, Big Bets on Campus is the podcast with our friend Stucky on Twitter at _Colin1. Colin spelled with two L's. My friend, welcome back to the show. What's up?
Thanks for having me, guys. I love being on. And I will tell you, Nick, the fountain of youth in your 40s is finding a reformer, mega former, a Pilates Legree machine, and like a studio full of those. And like, it's turned into like the biggest health choice I've ever made, besides like counting macros. Like, reformer and mega former machines are insane in your 40s. So there's a little tip out there for everybody.
Yeah, I think there's only one thing you need in your 40s. Ozempic. I'm just kidding. I'm not a cheater or a quitter like those frauds that use Ozempic. I actually do it the old-fashioned way, unlike you fat slobs that need Ozempic. Anyway, Colin, let's talk some college football. Before we get to bets coming up for week two, would love to pick your brain on some of the stuff we saw in week one. So maybe we do these in quick hitter fashion, and then we'll get to some of the big games in week two. Alabama's performance was obviously alarming last weekend against Florida State. I kind of think I would not bet them to do anything this season off of that performance, and I don't even think that's an overreaction. Where do you stand on Kalen DeBoer and Alabama following the loss last week to Florida State?
Two big problems in the program. One, I think, is fixable. One, they showed up and they didn't look like they hit each other entire fall camp. They looked soft. They looked like they've never been struck before by another player. That's fixable. You would think that they would grind it out in practice. The big problem is Kane Womack's reputation of not changing mid-game, playing this swarm concept personnel. He doesn't change it midstream, and if you figure out his defense, you can expose him, and that's becoming more apparent on tape as he has moved up from South Alabama to Alabama as a defensive coordinator. Sirens need to be sounding in Alabama. I'm not sure if it's going to happen this weekend, but sirens need to be sounding because these are both really big problems, and eventually it's going to fall back on Kalen DeBoer.
And that's got to be Kane. Womack is defensive coordinator for Alabama. Bama, a huge favorite this weekend. And so, Colin, are the Texas Longhorns off the loss last week on the road at Ohio State? And look, like, Texas can obviously still go to the playoffs, still even win the SEC. But Arch Manning did not look awesome in his season debut this year. What is your panic level for Arch Manning and the Texas Longhorns? And you could take that Heisman, national title, wherever you want.
my panic level for Arch and for the roster is zero. I think Texas is just as good as anybody else in the country. They had two failed red zone attempts. It would have completely flipped that game upside down. They won the box score from yards per play. There's nothing wrong with this Texas team except for one constant, and it's every year, and it's Steve Sarkisian in the red zone, and he continues to be outside the top 100 every year in red zone and finishing drives efficiency on offense. And this guy's a mastermind. This guy's was Saban's handpicked boy, and we just can't figure it out unless Bijan Robinson is in the backfield. So, you know, we're going to figure it out. The roster's talented enough. I think they're going to make the playoff. I think they're fine, but this red zone thing's got to get figured out.
I can't believe I'm saying this after 1 week, and I'm just being really honest about this, right? I was so fired up when North Carolina hired Bill Belichick. Like, I think this is going to be awesome. I think it's going to work. I think he's going to get this team rolling. And after one drive on Monday night against TCU, man, they look like the 2007 Patriots, man. They looked awesome. And then TCU became the 2007 Giants for the rest of the game. And I'm like not excited about North Carolina anymore. The 13.5-point favorites at Charlotte this weekend. Is there any reason to believe that Carolina can get this turned around and Belichick won't be a disaster this season in Chapel Hill?
Well, there's going to be some love coming in on Charlotte here. They are probably the better college coach team. I can't believe I just said that in the face of Bill Belichick, but they look.
Who's Charlotte's coach?
Tim Albin, who just came in from Ohio, who's like dominated the MAC, right? So,
So the former Ohio coach is a bad. I mean, I just want to punch that. I'm not saying you're wrong. And yeah, college coach. The former Ohio coach is a better college coach than Bill Belichick. You could definitely be right about that. It's just crazy to hear.
I mean, what was Ohio last year? Like 60-1 to win the MAC? I mean, from a college perspective, anyone that watches the MAC knows that Tim Albin is a great college football coach. But I think what happened was there were no in-game adjustments. There was a reason this depth chart came out, and there were not even like the whole roster listed with oars on it. It was just nobody. I don't think this coaching staff has figured out this roster. I don't know if they know how to put together a transfer portal group of players together. I mean, if you think about Belichick, he's used to a system. He's used to finding players like Edelman that fit the system, that fit the culture in the locker room. Now you're dealing with 18 to 20-year-old kids that have been fed money since they were 16 and now hitting the portal and thinking they're the greatest gift to God in college football. Like, it's a little bit different of a dynamic to get that locker room going. This isn't Edelman and Gronk and Brady. This is not the same thing, and it showed on the field. The deal is they have quarterback Gio Lopez, transferred in from South Bama. That's two South Bama mentions on the show. He is good enough to beat Charlotte on his own. I'm not backing North Carolina here, but I don't think Belichick has this figured out whatsoever, the college game.
Yeah, it didn't look like that, obviously, on Monday night against TCU. All right, let's turn our attention to the games coming up this weekend. Like, we see this every year with Week 2. Week 1's always a banger. Week 2, not as much, but that's okay. NFL Week 1 coming up this weekend. I think the game of the weekend, Colin, and I can't wait for it, is Michigan against Oklahoma. And to me, Bryce Underwood has the look and feel of a future number one overall pick in the NFL draft. But it is only a second collegiate start on the road in Norman, not quite New Mexico at home. Sooners a 5.5-point favorite, total now 43.5, so that under seems like it's been getting bet. How are you betting Oklahoma and Michigan?
Yeah, you're going to grab the first half under. I mean, listen, do we need to see any more freshmen on the road in hostile environments to see if they can produce out of the gate? Usually the answer is no. If the answer is yes, then probably go see if you can get a live Underwood Heisman bet, because this is a very hostile environment that he is stepping into. I think it's going to take the Michigan offense just a little bit to figure it out. And OU's defense front seven is really good at stopping the run. I just don't see Michigan airing it out. So I don't see a lot of points starting off for the freshman quarterback and Bryce Underwood. But on the other side of the ball, not impressed with John Mateer on the ground whatsoever. He had a 20-yard scramble. Other than that, he had like 8 yards on three design carries. The running game couldn't get anything going whatsoever. Illinois State was stuffing OU above national champion, above national averages. So I don't see anything going with the ground game on either side at the beginning of the game. I think they're going to feel each other out before Oklahoma's finally forced to go to the air, which, you know, covering, I make the number 5.5. So it's really hard to say which way I would go. I would tend to lean towards Michigan as the game goes on and Bryce Underwood gets more comfortable. So if you want to play Oklahoma first half and maybe look for Michigan live, that's the angle I'd go for the side. But this is a first half under game all the way with a freshman quarterback in a hostile environment.
Absolutely love it. This is You Better You Bet. Nick Costos, Femi Abebefe, hanging out with Colin Wilson of the Action Network. Check out his podcast, Big Bets on Campus with Stuckey. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Talking all things Week 2 college football. Let's go to the early slate, though, for tomorrow's game. Cy-Hawk, Iowa, Iowa State. Everyone's fired up for it. Right now, over the consensus number, Iowa State's 3.5. The total sitting at 42.5 makes a lot of sense. It feels like we're talking about this market wherever the game is being played. How do you handicap this side total, Seahawk, tomorrow at noon?
Yeah, amazingly, the road team has won the last five iterations of this game. I do fall with Iowa in this game, and it's because Iowa State is not the better team in the trench. Their edges have not been able to get pressure, and they have been terrible against the run. Kansas State was plus 2.5 yards per play against them in Dublin. Like, even though Iowa State won that game, Kansas State was a clear box score winner. And then you go to the other side of the ball. Rocco Becht is like had 26 dropbacks and like 12 pressures already. This offensive line is not protecting him whatsoever. And, you know, they're already creating pressure off the edge from the Iowa, from that defense last week against Albany. Albany was under duress the entire time. And when you look at Iowa State's offense, they're, you know, they're running outside zone, inside zone. That's what Iowa defends really well. The trench belongs to Iowa on both sides of the ball. I think the throwing issues with Mark Gronowski they're a problem. He underthrew everybody. He went 8 for 15, and the 7 that he missed were not even close. His ADOT was 4.8. You're not going to expect the Hawkeyes to be throwing it down the field here, especially against a nickel secondary, the 3-3-5 from Iowa State. But they will own the trench in zone read against an Iowa State defense that has not shown it against Kansas State and didn't show it against an FCS opponent last week. So there's a couple 3.5s out there. I think that was kind of set up yesterday. It's nibbling back to 3. I do like Iowa plus 3.5. I'd still take them at 3.
Absolutely love that. How about in the Illinois-Duke game in that same window? The Illini, we talk to a lot of people who cover college football nationally. We always said, hey, who is your dark horse to make the CFP? Illinois was like 9 out of 10, the answer. They're 2.5 on the road in Durham. Can they get by this, or is there upset alert here with the Duke Blue Devils as a home dog, short home dog against Illinois?
Yeah, all I heard was this is a trap game all week. I'm thinking, like, trap game? Duke's actually really good. Like, I know I said this over on our podcast over at BBOC. It's, you know, Darian Mensah was paid a lot of money to leave Tulane, come to Duke, and that got Malik Murphy transferred out to Oregon State. They already had a quarterback in they were paying for, and they went and got another one. Darian Mensah is an extremely good quarterback for Tulane. If you haven't seen him play before, 4 big-time throws last week against Elon. I think he is a difference maker in this game. And Duke's defense is insanely good under Manny Diaz. He has been nothing but nails since he got there. They were 10 TFLs, 3 sacks last week. And listen, the more mistake-prone quarterback in this game is Luke Altmyer. Last week, he went 17 of 22, and he is struggling to find a go-to receiver after losing a boatload of targets that he had last year. The more mistake-prone team is Illinois. The team that is going to regress more from last year is Illinois, and Duke is playing the better defense, and they got a quarterback that not a lot of people are talking about.
I love it. Love the analysis there of Illinois and Duke. What about Baylor and SMU? SMU a juice 2.5-point favorite. I know what you like in this game, and I know what I like, and we'll be opposites here. Tell us why you like the Mustangs here, Colin, in about a minute. SMU and Baylor.
Yeah, so if you watched tape, first off, my power rating is like 7.5 on SMU. So this just that time of year where power ratings can move very fluidly in the first couple weeks because we're on fact-finding mission to see what these teams are about. Right now, I think SMU is 7.5 points better, and I did dock Baylor for what they lost against Auburn. Not as bad as some people would think because of the score. But watch the tape. Auburn absolutely ripped up the middle, over the center, and between the two guards, the interior of the Baylor defense. And if you go on PFF and read the missed tackles, even the two safeties for Baylor missed 5 tackles. Their interiors are missing tackles, or safeties are missing tackles on Jackson Arnold running up the gut. Like, all of a sudden, this is like, you know, this is supposed to be like the best scrambler in college football. It's Jackson Arnold straight over the guard. And there's nothing that Baylor could do about it against Auburn. And then you look at SMU, and what'd they run? 7 carries over the right guard, 7 carries over the center last week. This isn't a bad rushing offense. The offensive line hasn't fallen off a cliff, and Kevin Jennings can run the ball. You don't think that Rhett Lashley's not watching that tape of what the Baylor interior is and isn't going to be able to produce the exact same thing that Auburn did? I don't think Jackson Arnold is so much that more much more improved. And I don't think the offensive line at Auburn is that much better than SMU. So I don't really understand this number. I know a lot of people think it's box score fraud and Baylor's still good with all these preseason expectations, but they looked like dog turds. I mean, their defensive line was supposed to be a strength. It wasn't. It got hammered last week, and it's going to get hammered again.
Love it. Well, I won't love it if that happens because I'm betting Baylor. 30 seconds. This could be another game this weekend or like a future bet that you like off of what we saw in week one. Something else that you think can be actionable for our listeners and viewers, please.
Oh, boy. You're letting me have an open board here. If I had to pick anything on the board right now, I think Kentucky can win outright this week against Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a different completely different team on the road. They have all this offensive flash over there at the Grove. They'll score 60. They'll score 50. They'll just make it a boat race, and they'll make you think that Lane Kiffin is a genius, that Saban should have picked him instead of Sarkisian as his favorite coordinator ever. Then they get on the road and they play Kentucky. They play styles of defense like Kentucky, where it's max protect against explosive plays, and it completely shuts them down. If you go to the box score last week for Ole Miss, Austin Simmons was actually extremely sloppy with the ball from a turnover-worthy play perspective and fumbles. Kentucky could take advantage of that. I don't think it's being talked about enough.
And Kentucky beat Ole Miss last year, kind of knocked Ole Miss out of the playoffs. So maybe revenge on the mind of Ole Miss, Colin saying maybe not so fast.
Exactly.
The great Lee Corso. Colin, great job. On Twitter at _Colin1, Big Bets on Campus, Action Network. Stay well. Good luck with the bets, except SMU, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
The great Colin Wilson joining us here on You Better You Bet. On the other side, we begin 100 glorious minutes of bets.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.